You know what? We'll do chapter 55. Pasuk Vav. Perek Nun Hei Pasuk Vav is what we're doing today. Today is April 16th. We are learning Sefer Yeshayahu. And we are in chapter 55, verse 6. As soon as we start reading, you will all recognize the pasuk. It's Dirshu Hashem Bihi Matzo Kira'u Bihi Yoso Karo. What better pasuk than this to accompany a fast day where I'm trying to turn things around? Okay? Did we speak in this class about the idea of fasting for 3 days? We talked about Esther fasting for 3 days. There is such a thing, you Google it, this people just only drink tea or water for 3 days, and your whole entire
system
reboot. Gets a total reboot. Right? You're not going to put any comments into the pot.
My rabbi from school would do that. 3 days before, wouldn't touch anything.
No comments?
No comments for 3 days before, so he'd be completely clear system. He would drink some sort of tea, no actual calories.
I don't mean to say anything. You're not telling me who it is, but it sounds insane to me.
Funny enough, I haven't seen him since. Let me show you this picture. I haven't seen him since.
I will tell you, there is a Saba. There is a Saba Kabbalah that says that if you eat milk and meat together within a certain amount of time, they're cooking together in your stomach. You get it? So you're over a los of Asher diva chalei. Right? In other words, you wouldn't violate the Torah by eating a bologna and cheese sandwich, because they're not cooked together. But when they go into your stomach, the stomach starts cooking. You know, the acids and the juices in the stomach is like, mom, it's like cooking. More than cooking. Right? So that's a little strange. For something that's already in the body, you're worried about that digested chametz. How long does it take to digest that food? 3 days, you're in trouble if that's how long it takes you to digest chametz. I guess if it's, say, depends if it's the wheat germ or they do the fiber or any of the. All right, anyway. So on a fast day, we want a cleansing. I want to get a new start. I want to, you know what I'm saying? I want to get a. The purpose of the fast is to turn something around. Now, in the time of Yeshayahu, I want you to get this clearly. In the time of Yeshayahu, the Rambam writes this clearly. We know it from our sources. The world felt that you do not have this opportunity or even ability to turn things around. Right? I don't know how successful Alcoholics Anonymous is, but it is certainly predicated on the notion that you can turn things around. Right? You have to get to this, as bad as it can get. Right? It's counterintuitive. You have to let that person really bottom out. And the point is that while it may be true that even if you've been sober for 20 years, right, every day is the same kind of struggle for the rest of your life. Right? If you've gotten to be that level. Same they say is true in gambling. I know someone who went a long time without gambling, and then he said he got back into it because he saw people throwing dice on a risk board, and he got them back. He said, I couldn't help myself. That night, it was on the Shabbos. He didn't gamble on Shabbos because it was Shabbos. Right?
Saturday night, went to casino.
So, and look, I know someone who listened to how he bottomed out on pornography. It's a firm guy. A guy who's serious about his Yiddishkeit. But he couldn't stop as Shabbos was entering. And he's an hour into Shabbos, he was still looking on the computer for it. Think how what a grip that this has on him. But because usually we say that a religious sensitivity, if ingrained, can be very strong. Depends on who you are. I don't even want to contemplate the idea of choosing between religion and your beloved wife. Right? But I do know that vanilla Häagen-Dazs ice cream is not good for me, right? You have to start worrying about your cholesterol levels at a certain age, you know, and, right? But I will squirrel some away here and there, you know, when it's late at night and, you know, it's dark and cold and it's, you know, that's the first few lines about Billy Joel's song. I reach out for someone to hold. My Baby Grand, that's a great song. So I'll whisk away a little bit of Häagen-Dazs when no one's looking, you know. But I would never do that when I'm Fleischig's, right? I'll defy my doctor's cholesterol advice. By the way, I happen to have very good cholesterol, but I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah,
but I will defy my doctor's cholesterol advice, but I would never defy Fleisch. You know? So it depends. It depends on your sensitivity. Okay? So this dirshu, very important word here. You got it in the Pasuk above? Dirshu Hashem. Make a drisha to Hashem. Because you can find him. Yeah, because the people who are inclined, they see God all over the place. The Rambam says this. They see God all over the place. I'm not just talking about the flowers and those beautiful buds and this. What a beautiful time of year. It's like Shira Shira in the air, isn't it? Right? So and then they start baseball, and it's great, great time. It's a great time of year, right? But it sometimes takes a drisha. Drisha means to delve into something. That's why pshat is just the surface level meaning. What does lahafshit an animal mean? To just skin the animal, take off the skin, is lahafshit, is pshat. Drash means to go deeper into the thing, right? So make a drisha of Hashem. I take you to a very interesting radak. It's very interesting. Is that at the end of Shaul HaMelech's life, you all know who I'm talking about, the first king of Israel, right? God turned on him. He said, God doesn't appear to him anymore. He became very melancholic. He needed David to play harp for him. Right? Hashem says, I'm choosing a different Navi, a different king. You're going to lose your kingdom. So he became a very, very different kind of being. Chased after David at every turn. Shmuel Aleph. You know what I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. So at the end, when the Philistines were mamashah almost upon him, he wanted to get an oracle to find out what's going to happen here. Now that oracle would normally come from Shmuel. Shmuel had died. In fact, that chapter begins by Yom HaShemuel, right? So where else would you go? It's the Kohen Gadol, it's the Urim Betumim. Press the buttons and find out, what's the Plishtim going to do? No Kohanim, because he killed them all. Remember? Because they gave David some bread and some help, right? Then he tried some Nevi'im and Chalomos, nothing going. So what did he do?
I don't worship.
He went to a witch, went to a necromancer, Balat Ov. Does this story ring a bell with you?
Yeah,
she did a seance, and then she raised Shmuel from the dead, who told her, right? So, that story is told in Shmuel. Whether the seance was real or not, because she gets it, she nails it, she gets it exactly right of what happened to Shmuel, Shaul the next day, maybe she just knew. Or, like some commentaries say, is that it was really Shmuel from the dead, but it was God doing it. No human being has the power to do such a thing. That's why she was so amazed and started screaming when she saw Shmuel. Hey, I never did this before. Who's doing this? Right? Or that she hypnotized Shaul into thinking it was Shmuel. You know, all right, fine. So that's all I'm saying for Shmuel. Okay? In Divrei HaYomim, listen to what happens. When the Philistines kill Shaul, Divrei HaYomim gives like a little moral play. It says, and Shaul lost his life because he didn't listen to God. And he commissioned the services of a Baalat Ov to seek what would happen to him. V'lo darash b'Hashem. It says in Divrei, get this clear. It says, V'lo darash b'Hashem. He did not inquire of God as to what would happen. But wait a second. It says in Sefer Shmuel that that's what he did first. He tried Urim. He tried Chalomos. He tried Nevuah. He tried, it says, Vayish'al. It actually says, Vayish'al Vashem. Right? But so the Radak says there it is the difference. It doesn't say below Sha'al Bashem. It says below Darash Bashem. Okay, you get the difference? It says he inquired of God, what's going to happen with these Philistines, God? I'm scared. Right? So it says, Vayish'al Bashem, he inquired, I'm not sure what's going to be. I got to know. And by the way, when God doesn't appear to him, because God has turned away from him, he says, get me a Baalat Ov, ve'edreshapa. You see what's going on here? Get me a Baalat Ov, and I will doresh her. Can you tell me just the simple Hebrew? What is the qualitative difference between being doresh something and being shoel something?
Doresh is more.
Of course, it's a much greater inquiry. Shoel means, what time is it? That's a shame. Right? Doresh means, you know, where are we? What are we doing? What have we accomplished today? You know, something much bigger. So it's the use of the word Dorash in this introductory point here that is what Yeshayahu is saying. Yeah, people may be inquiring of God, they may be looking into godliness, but it's not a drisha. The real drisha, the Doresh, you're putting into other things. Okay? I just close this discussion of this pasuk with a juxtaposition of something I recall 35 years ago. That's how long ago this is. I took the singles of my shul to a weekend away at the Chalet Vim. I think the Vim family is still doing catering. It's a little shout out if you're listening. So Chalet Vim was like a hotel in Woodburn, New York, upstate. About 400, 500 of us went up there and Shabbos morning, there was singles from all over the tri-state area. It was such a toeva, I gotta tell you. You couldn't hear Torah laying unless you were like two rows away. There was so much noise, and we had to stop davening so many times. I just say, guys, let's just finish this so we can get to this Kiala Kiddush that we have, and you can start socializing on the lawn. But right now, we're gonna daven. This is an Orthodox event, and we have to have davening. And it got so unpleasant, I gotta tell you. Davening was really a toy. If Yeshayahu had been there for that davening, he would have said everything he says in Perek Aleph. Okay? Lamali Rosi Pchechem, Sadeh Allah, Tor Chachem, what do I need all your tirchon? Alright, so that's that. So in the same, it was a very large auditorium to fit all those people, you can imagine. The same auditorium was a Saturday night program. Now, well, full disclosure, I had to go back to the west side because that night was sleepless. So must have been very early Rosh Hashanah because Labor Day weekend, Saturday night, was the night of sleepless already. Sometimes happens that way. It was sleepless like at the end of August, depending on the way Yom Rosh Hashanah falls out. But okay. So I went back to New York for sleepless after Shabbos was over. Remember, it's September, Shabbos is over pretty late. Sleepless is at midnight. I get back at about 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock in the morning, later than that, 2:30, quarter to 3 maybe, right? And the program is still going on. And who's up there? It was an improv group called Chicago City Limits. Have you heard of it? Never heard of it?
Chicago.
Google, yeah, it won't happen. We do that all the time. Chicago City Limits. I think they used to perform on First Avenue, right under the Queensborough Bridge. I remember seeing them a long, long time ago with my wife on a date. We weren't even married yet, which means it's almost 40 years ago.
53rd Street.
Yeah, I told you about the Queensborough Bridge, right? 59th. Yeah, is it still there?
It still exists. I think so, yeah.
It's an improv. What you do is you tell them like 10 items and they make a play out of those 10 items quickly. Yeah, it's a television show like that, I think. I forget what it's called. But it's improv. It's very fun. And they're very good at it.
Yeah, it was fun.
Okay, so you know what I mean about improv, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So Chicago City, it's a big, big finish. It must have been very expensive to get there. But we had 500 people. It was a big, big, big money maker. I come at the door, and I say, what? And I'm wondering. Wow, what's still going on here at 2:45? right? And I'm just saying that at the door, the room is like from here, I would say, to the end of Max Stern. I mean, really far away. The room might be up to that building right there. I mean, it's a big, huge room. And the guy at the door said, "Shh, the Chicago City Limits is still on." And you could hear them at the door. Right, it was a sound system, but it was so amazing, the juxtaposition of the Toeva, of the davening, right? And the rapture, the quiet calm of that room to hear every single word of the Chicago City Limits, right? And that goes, I can give other examples of this. I have to tell you, there's so many. But it's that you make such a drisha for that. And look what you put together for God. Maybe it's because you feel so comfortable with God. Maybe, I don't know. I'll tell you one other popular culture example. Have you heard the show The Honeymooners? Oh, I feel so sorry for you guys. You don't know The Honeymooners? You got Jackie Gleason, R. Cardi.
You know Cardi B? Like,
no,
man.
Is that a man or a woman?
It's a woman. The worst. She used to be a stripper.
Oh, please, I don't want to hear this. So,
but now she's a rapper. It's horrible. Just absolutely horrible, and it ruins people's ears.
So, The Honeymooners was a television show, one of the first show, situation comedies with Jackie Gleason. It's still a classic. They only made 39 shows, but it's still a real classic. So this one episode, it's a couple, it's two couples, they don't have any children. You ever hear of the Flintstones?
Yeah.
The Flintstones was modeled it. We know
Flintstones.
Okay? Yeah. But the Flintstones, they gave them children, but the Honeymooners, they didn't have children. Really a quality show. Everyone of them had some kind of message to it, and it was mostly about the relationship of these two couples. So the Fred Flintstone character is Jackie Gleason, who's a bus driver, and his wife is Alice. And the two couples are both invited to his boss's house for a dinner. And he's momish complimenting her on every little thing and fawning all over his boss's wife and telling her every bit of everything, the curtains, the food, the wine, everything. So if they get home afterwards, and the wife tells him, you know, Ralph, you really poured it on with your neighbor, with your boss's wife tonight. You know, you're not thinking, it was a little overboard, right? So Ralph says, "Ah, honey, come on. There's a promotion coming up for the company in 2 weeks. And who knows, maybe he's sitting over dinner and he's talking about who should get the promotion. Maybe she'll remember that, you know, I was here and she maybe drive him over the top to give me the promotion." Of course, he doesn't end up getting it because he's such a sad sack person. Every bit of the show is, you know, is every show is about him trying to hand his ship to come in, and it never comes in. Right? Every show is like that. So he says, "Honey, you know, if I get this promotion, I'll be able to get a new roof to make twice as much money, you know, and you know, it's a whole big thing. That's why I did that." So she says, "Oh, come, of course, I don't care that you talk to your boss's wife that way. What bothers me is
you don't talk that way to me.
You never talk that way to me. Aww. You get it? Why don't you compliment Lisa? Because you're taking me for granted, right? So that's what it is. We take a Kodesh Baruch Hu for granted." Kodesh Baruch Hu is this long-suffering wife who stays at home, and it gets a little ugly because I'm not as exciting as the women in the office. Of course not. They don't have kids to feed. They don't have homework to do with your kids. Right? You get that point? You know what I'm saying? So the Avodah Zarah that you whore around with, you get my point, that you mezaneh with, that's sure, of course, that's more fun for you. And they don't even require anything of you like I do. Right? It's like my shul. Some people who will always come to my shul for the important events, for Shem Kippur, or, you know, Tisha B'Av, Purim.
You guys get to hear about them.
I gotta say, I gotta think it's a good thing, you know, with Baruch Hashem. But don't take anyone for granted. Okay? Make a drisha. Dear Shu, right? What's the assumption of here? Call out to him when he's close. Is that there are some times when God is closer. You say, wait a second. God is as close as we want him to be any time, any place. That is true. But by the same token, some places are more conducive than others. Right? A shul is more conducive than an open field. For some people, maybe the open field is more conducive. Find your conduciveness. I don't know. But the Beis HaMikdash is more conducive than Shaar B'Gei Ben Hinnom. Right?
I don't know what that is.
Shaar B'Gei Ben Hinnom is where the Jews used to sacrifice their kids to the fire gods. Yirmiyahu chapter 7 and 19 says that it's a sickness you took. That's what you take from the Goyim? Right? And the amazing thing is that Gay Ben Hinnom, for which Gehenna is named, right?
Really?
Is right outside the Yaffa Gate. Can you picture the Yaffa Gate right now? The Mamila Mall?
Yeah, absolutely.
See where the Mamila, can you go down the steps towards the Mamila Mall? You are looking at Gay Ben Hinnom. That valley where they have concerts and stuff?
Yeah.
You talking about? That's where they birth the kids. They called it, he said, and they called Gei HaTofet. Tofet means a timpani drum, right? Because they would play the drums while the kids were being thrown into the fire so you wouldn't hear the screams. Right? So Yirmiyahu says, that's what you want to do? This is the Avodah Zarah you get into? Right? It's one thing that the sexually motivated Avodah Zarah is, that's just going to kill you off with diseases. Right? But this, throwing you, where did you get this? What Narishka gets into your head to do this? Right? So Yirmiyahu says you're going to rename this place Gei HaRega, because that's where the Babylonians are going to throw all your bodies in here, not to be buried, to mass graves. This is what you want to do? Right? It's just amazing what, you know, that Hashem is like this long-suffering wife who's always loyal to him. I'll always be there. He'll always find me here. Sounds like a Four Seasons kind of song that you know, Frankie Valli is saying, you know, I only want what's best for you. Right? If he leaves you high and dry, remember, you know, I'll be here waiting for you. You know? Right? So I doubt if you know that reference either. But it's a song by the Four Seasons. Alright, so Yazov Rasha Darko B'ish Oven Machshavo Sav. That's exactly what I just said. But there's two points to be made here. Is that the Rasha can change his ways and leave behind his derech. You know how? With your machshavos. Because the actions go after your thoughts. But people are going to say, I can't be responsible for my thoughts. We'll try an experiment right now. Can you just sit down and just try to think about nothing?
Impossible.
Nothing. That's how they say it. It's not to meditate. You just think about it. Try to block everything out. Okay? Think about what's getting into your head. In the mind, your mind works very quickly and it's capable of amazing things. Right? But it starts with your machshavos, right? Because the mind goes after machshava, but even better than that, the mind goes after maasim. Actions will shape your character, which explains a fascinating halacha, that if you see your friend's donkey, and you're really an enemy, someone you really despise because he keeps doing terrible things to you, and they're both lost. So there's a mitzvah called Hashavas Aveda that has just presented itself to you. The Gemara Bava Metzia says you should return the enemy's donkey first. It's counterintuitive. I want to do something for my friend. Right? No, because doing this for your enemy is maybe harder to do, but it's redemptive. It's rehabilitative. It's gonna turn an enemy into a friend, and there's nothing better than that. Right? Like Abraham Lincoln said. Like the Avos Dvar Yonasan says, take a sone and make him into an oye. Okay? But it means to be in control. Too many people are out of control. Right? So how do you do it? First, Yazov Darko, And then Ya'azov Machshavosav. It's not easy to do if you're an Ish Oven. A sinful man doesn't want to do this. Ah, but you can change. Right? Ki lo machshavosai machshavosechem v'lo darchechem drachayim yom Hashem. Because, you know, I'm not changing. I'm not a changing thing. God is trying to tell them that I am God no matter what happens. And I love you whether you're good or bad. It's just that when you're bad, there will be consequences. I'm just putting it out that way. You wouldn't say that lung cancer is a punishment for smoking. Right? It's a consequence. Yes. It's a consequence of smoking.
I mean, it depends on your looking at it.
I'm just saying that everything here that God predicts for his Nevi'im are not punishments. God doesn't want to punish us. He's just saying those things are just waiting to happen to you. Let the talk. I don't want those things to happen. No more than a parent wants a kid to get hit by a car when he says if you cross when the light is red, the car will hit you. Right? It's an important difference to make. Right? These things are just waiting to happen. Right? We lost the second battle in Sefer Yehoshua, not as so much as a punishment for Achan taking the spoils, but as a consequence of that took the Shekhinah out of our camp, with the cockiness of Bnei Yisrael, you know what war I'm talking about, when they look, oh, we just defeated Yericho with no effort, oh, the second place is going to fall easily, we just need 2,000 or 3,000 people. No, you needed 30,000 people. If you took 30,000, you might have won that battle, because without the Shekhinah of Hashem, then you will be given to the regular exigencies of battle, right? But without God, together with your cockiness, that's a bad recipe, right? If you want me in your camp, you have to be there, right? Invite me in, right? Okay, I beautiful story. I'm going to put Pasuk Tes. We're going to start there in a minute. Is where the angels bring up. In a little shtetl, and they say, God, there's a problem in this town. There are two people making a wedding on the same day. Which one are you going to go to? Hashem says, let's see. We'll see what happens. We'll see how it's going to be. So there's one wedding is this fabulously wealthy man, right? And his wife wants to make a beautiful wedding, and she says, listen, honey, we need a band, we need a dress. And the man says, don't worry, everything that you want for our daughter, just go right to the bank, spare no expense. Poor man, every time his wife says, you know, our daughter's getting married in 6 months, we have to start putting together some stuff. Yes, bad. So he says, you know, we don't really have so much money for this. So he says, don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show us the way. We're going to put it together, we're going to borrow here, we'll get from there, we'll get a gift, we'll get this and that. People in the neighborhood will give them gifts. So each turn, when the poor man's wife just keeps telling him, all right, now we need to put together some wine, we need to put together some chairs. And so each time the poor man says, God will help. So when it comes time, the wedding is the same night, mamish, God tells the angels, you know, I can't go to the rich man's wedding. Because when his wife kept on asking, you know, when we go to the business, he just said, go to the bank. When the poor man's wife said, what are we going to do? I'm going to do this. He goes, God will help. So he said, I can't go to the rich man's wife because he didn't invite me. There's nothing wrong with going straight to God and beseeching God. That's what it means to be a believer in God, is that I need you. I'm bereft without you. I need you for everything, for my daily provisions. Right? Okay. So he says that I never change, but you just look for the highest bidder. Who gives me my enjoyment today? This part of Yeshayahu sounds a little like if you know Sefer Hosea, chapter 1, that says you go after every Baal in the world for your sustenance. What about me? I'm the true Baal, right? Meaning the true, you know, capital B Baal, but meaning the husband. Ki gavhu shamayim me'aretz, says Pasuk Tes. Ken gavhu durachai midarchechem u'machshvosan u'machshvosechem. He says, go look up at the sky and you'll see how different I am than you. What does that mean? Ki kasher yered ha-geshe ba-shelag min ha-shamayim v'shama lo yoshuv. Kim hirva ha-saretz v'holigav yitzmichav and the sun zera lezarei v'alechem lochel. Don't you realize how I am in nature? Can't you just look at the way things happen and see me all over it instead of looking for the sun god, the sun Baal, the snow Baal, the rain Baal? Snow was always considered a very valuable thing in the wintertime in Israel because it slowly melts and waters for the makes the seeding work very nicely. So he says, when you see the Sheleg and the a very rare word. Shelag is a rare thing because you don't see it so often. But if you see it coming, melting down the mountain and in the holy da, it helps to give birth. Hitzmicha, it helps to give the plants what they need. You get, you know, these things are rejuvenating. Don't you see what it is? The earth looks like it died out in the winter, and now I rejuvenate that. I can do that for you too. Right? And it produces seeds. And it gives bread. Who do you think does that? Okay? This pasuk means for us to see God in teva, in nature. Okay? But be careful. You ever heard this drasha? That the gematria of teva equals... not teva, but ha-teva. The nature is God, is Elohim. That's why Bereishis Bara Elohim. Now, Elohim in Hebrew is also reserved for the judge, right? Elohim, Yavod Bar Shnehem, right? You remember that? Sheyav Shimon Elohim. So that's that because Teva is very, very, very judgmental. You know what I'm saying? Teva doesn't have Rachman. You know what I'm saying? Teva it stays within. It's emits. It's 2 + 3. It does not have much leeway as to what it is. It's mathematical. It's not. You know, you can argue whether something is a particular color, or whether something has a particular scent, or whether this medication will help or hurt. But you can't argue about teva. All right. We say something is called lamala min teva. You know, something above nature. It's called something supernatural, right? Okay, there might be some what appear to be supernatural events that are beyond what's normally expected, but that's according to the philosopher, that's built into the Torah. Okay, be that as it may, he says that look around you, see how the world goes. Ki yed dvari asher yitzei mipi, ken yed dvarim asher yitzei mipi, lo yashuv elei rekam ki masa'is asher chafatzti v'tzlich asher shlachti. Is that, don't you see a cycle of events? Water goes in, goes up to the clouds water the earth, and the earth and it evaporates again, and it goes back, and it's a cycle of events. Don't you see the give and take in the cycle that should exist between you and me? And it doesn't, you haven't gotten it. Because I can matzliach everybody. Ki v'simchot etzeu v'shalom tuvalun. He refers here to, this is called personification, this is a great personification. The trees will clap their hands. What does that mean?
The wind.
The wind will blow the trees, and but the trees will be so leafy and so that you can actually hear the clapping. The trees will be lush. I can do this for you. Right? Now, when Yeshayahu was speaking in Perek Mindal, Yunhei, Mikvav, that's up to the two different opinions when this is. Is it the time of the Yeshayahu 700 or so, 710? Or is it this? He's speaking in these prokim about the time of the Babylonian exile. Israel was a desolation at this time. Right? So he means to say that I can rejuvenate. Right? It's, and he uses these natural, these imageries of nature. Okay, I'll just close with this pasuk. Tachas hana'atzutz yaleh rosh, tachas asirpad yaleh hadas. Yola Hashem l'shem ha'usolam lo'ikoreis. Have you ever heard of a drash in the Seches Megillah from this pasuk? What does it look like? Instead of the na'atzutz, which is a word that usually means something despicable. Natsuts is like a degraded tree, like a thorn, will be a brosh. Brosh is a lush tree. Back to nature, right? Tachas ha-sirpad. Sirpad is also a thorny plant. Yale hadas. Hadas is a very sweet smelling, like a myrrh, right? Now, hadas is also the name of a person in Megillas Esther, right? Esther is Hadassah. So the Gemara says, instead of the Natsuts, which was Haman, shall come a brosh, Mordechai. Instead of the Sirpad, which is Vashti, Yale Hadas, which is it. So the Gemara in Maseches Megillah shows how these refer to Haman and Mordechai. But the point that Yeshayahu is making, if you know what the Gemara wants to say, is that we're given to profound change. And that's what Esther is now. Nafochu. Now you see why we say Yom Kippurim is a Yom Kippurim. So the point of Yom Kippur is also you can change. You can go to the abyss like the depths of the depths, like Yonah, and you can get out of it. Right? So Yeshayahu is trying to teach this to the people, that you're stuck someplace, but it's within your power to unstuck yourself, so to say. Okay, we'll stop with that because that ends Perek Nun Hei. But the Haftorah continues quite a bit. Okay, the Haftorah continues just about to the end of Nun Vav. Okay, to Pasuk Ches. Right? So when we get back, we'll finish the Haftorah, okay? All right, guys. Have a great, you all know where you're going.